Good morning, and welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Grace Community Church of Rock Valley, Iowa. We invite you to tune in this time each week as we bring you the message of the grace of God. Stay tuned at the end of the message for contact information.
Let me read to you our Lord's words found in Matthew chapter 11, beginning with verse 26. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now after praying, the Lord Jesus addressed the crowd with these words, "All things have been committed to me by my Father." Here is an all-encompassing explanation for what's going on in the world. God has a purpose, and he has a plan for accomplishing that purpose, and God has entrusted the accomplishing of that purpose and plan to the Lord Jesus. This point cannot be taken too far. There is not a purpose of God that has not been entrusted to the Lord Jesus. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, that God was bringing all things under one heading, and that heading is the Lord Jesus. Now, we're all familiar with the accounting practice of arranging expenses in columns, with each column having a heading that describes the kind of expense being recorded. Paul is saying that, so far as God is concerned, everything is in one column and comes under one heading, Jesus Christ. All life and death, all judgment and salvation, all providence, whether pleasant or unpleasant, all rain and sunshine, all sickness and health, everything comes under the heading of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is from him, everything is for him, and everything is about him. We cannot make sense of this world until we understand that all that is and all that happens is for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing has any meaning apart from Christ, and all things find their true significance in him and his glory. And God has committed the realization of that truth to the hands of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord specifically mentions that the revelation of the Father is in his hands. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son will reveal him. The Father does not reveal himself, that is, he does not make himself known to us. He has committed that work to the Son. Christ fulfills this work simply by being the Son, for he is a Son who is the perfect representation of his Father, and so much so that he told his disciples, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." Now the Lord's next words are based on the truth he has just declared. All things are committed to my hands. Come to me. Now maybe you've heard the story of that bank robber of the Depression era. He was asked why he kept robbing banks. His answer was, "That's where all the money is." "Well, why do I come to Christ?" "Because that's where all the Father's blessings are." Everything is there, and that includes all that the Father has for a sinner. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ." If everything is in Christ, what use is there going anywhere else? "In him is life," says John. If I want spiritual and eternal life, then I must go to Christ, for he is the only source of that life. The Bible says, just as God has life in himself, so the Father has granted the Son to have life in himself. The Lord Jesus told the sisters of Lazarus that not only did he have life, but that he is the resurrection and the life. He also said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." If you want life, you must come to Christ for that life. God's love is in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul is not trying to make a contrast between a love of God that is in Christ Jesus and some love of God which is outside of Christ Jesus. Rather, Paul is teaching that all of God's love is in Christ Jesus. A lot of modern evangelism begins with, God loves you. Friends, if God loves everyone, then no one need fear anything. For all God's love is in Christ, and no one can be separated from that love. But God does not love everyone. His love is in Christ, and only those who are in Christ participate in that love. You may say, well then, what use is there in going to Christ until I determine whether or not God loves me? The answer is simple. The love of God is in Christ. Go to Him, and you will find the love of God for you. Election is in Christ. Paul taught that God's elect were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. There are some who believe that no one has a warrant to call on Christ until they have some evidence that they are among the elect. In my religious heritage, there's a group of Baptists who go so far as to say that we should not preach the gospel to a person until they show some evidence of having been chosen by God. But election is in Christ. Do you want to know if you are elect? Then go to Christ. That's where election is. And let me tell you a little secret. No one ever went to Christ to discover whether he was among the elect and found out that he was not one of the elect. Christ said, all that the Father gives me. Now that's another way to describe election. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Did you hear that? That's the Lord's promise. The one that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. There is your warrant to come to Christ. Christ has called sinners to come to him, and he's called them with that promise that he will not cast them out. Therein is your election proven. You come to him. There is the promise grasped in Christ. Redemption and forgiveness are in Christ. In Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. Do you want redemption from your slavery to the law and its condemnation? Do you long for the forgiveness of your sins, the removal of all that has made you liable to the eternal judgment of God? Well, redemption and forgiveness are in Christ, full and free. Go to Him, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. Righteousness is in Christ. Your conscience tells you that you must be righteous to be accepted by God, and your conscience also tells you that you are not righteous. Well, Christ is called Jehovah, our righteousness. In the Lord are righteousness and strength. Paul says that Christ is made unto us righteousness. All the righteousness you need to be approved and accepted by God is in Christ. Go to Him for righteousness. Truth is in Christ. The Lord said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Pharisees sought the truth in Scriptures and thought they gained life through their knowledge of the Scriptures. But Christ told them that the Scriptures were about Him, but they would not come to Him for life. The Scriptures were not so much about what we should do, but about what Christ has done. The Scriptures are not so much a description of our responsibilities, but a message of how Christ has fulfilled all those responsibilities in our behalf. Yes, study the Scriptures, but go to Christ to discover what they mean. Go to Christ for rest. Rest from what, you ask? Well, rest from laboring to obtain all those things I've mentioned before. God's love, truth, righteousness, redemption, and forgiveness. Well, how should you go to Christ? Well, first, go to Him in faith. Christ said, he that believeth in me shall never die. Go to Him believing that He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by Him. Go to Him believing His promise that He will not cast you out. Go to Him believing that in His righteous life and sacrificial death, you have all you need to make you acceptable to God. Go to Christ ignoring what everyone but Christ has to say about it. Someone may say to you, but you're not worthy to come to him. Well, tell them that your unworthiness is precisely the reason you are coming to Christ. Tell them it's not your worthiness to be saved that is at issue, but Christ's worthiness to be the Savior, and that you are convinced that he is a worthy person to represent you in the presence of God, for God has exalted him to be a prince and a Savior. But what of my parents? You say, what shall I tell them? Would it not be disrespectful to them for me to leave the religion of my upbringing and come to Christ and Christ alone? Well, it's no disrespect of your parents to come to God through Christ. Did not your parents teach you to be wise? And is Christ not called the wisdom of God? Furthermore, Christ said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yea, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, Christ does not mean that we must despise our parents. Rather, he means that we must be willing to come to him whether or not they approve, willing to suffer even the loss of their love and acceptance, if need be, in order to gain Christ. And let me tell you, he would be worth the loss. If you cannot convince your parents to go to Christ with you, do not let them convince you to go to hell with them. If they are determined to perish, let them do so without you. Instead, with singleness of heart and determination, go to Christ and find salvation for your soul, then plead with him to save your parents and spouse and children. Well, what will my friends think if I come to Christ? Better, you should ask, what will God think if I do not come to Christ? Your friends shall be no friends to you in eternity. Go now to him who is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will be friend to you now and friend for eternity. I would not have you act rashly in this important issue, but neither would I have you put it off for some other time, for some other time may never come. With Christ, I urge you to count the cost of following him, for it is costly in this world to follow Christ. But as you count the cost of following him, be sure also to count the cost of not following him. Being religious will not do. Being moral will not suffice. Coming to Christ is the only avenue of salvation for sinners. God give you grace to do it for Jesus' sake.
We pray that you've been blessed by today's message. Visit our website where you can find more information regarding our church. Our web address is www.rvgrace.com. There you can find information on our worship times, audio and video recordings of our worship service and Bible study, plus a weekly devotional. Our email address is pastor@rvgrace.com. Until next week, may the God of all grace and comfort bless you in Christ Jesus.